Hello, everyone. Welcome to our episode 5 coverage of the final season, as well as the first season of Star Trek Lower Decks. We are Uncanny Treks. I am Bob in Cascadia. That is Matt in the Southland. Matt, how are you doing this evening?
Doing pretty well, Bob. I will say these two episodes of Lower Decks, for some reason, they were so similar that the plots ran together to me.
Yeah, I can see that. I feel bad, but I'm just not having much energy for Lower Decks Season 5. I don't dislike it, but I just find myself not having much to say about it.
Yeah, I feel they're tying up a lot of loose ends just for nostalgia purposes so they can wrap it all up, you know?
It is helping me make peace with the end of the show, because it's probably good.
Go ahead. Right.
Call it.
It's kind of running. Again,
not that this season has been bad by any means, but yeah, it's probably a good idea to call it. So we're talking about episode 5 of season 5. That's a Starbase 80 question mark. And then we're also talking about episode 5 of season 1, Cupid's Errant Arrow. That's from September 3rd, 2020. Matt, to begin with on Starbase 80, were you sad about the beluga whales getting electrocuted? Did that rend your heart?
Kind of did, Bob. You always forget that they have cetacean ops on the starships. It's interesting that this is something they actually keep there, but...
And if you're dumb like me, you thought they were dolphins for the longest.
Are they the same type of whales that the Captain Kirk brings back from Star Trek?
No, those are like humpback whales, I'm pretty sure.
They are humpback whales, you're right. They are.
They're much bigger than the beluga whales.
Yeah, I probably should have turned in my Star Trek card for that comment.
Nope. I was going to ask, speaking of your Star Trek card, did you get the decontamination gag where they all have to go through the decontamination chamber to go on Starbase 80?
Well, yeah, Bob. It's like one of the only famous scenes from Enterprise that most people know.
I was going to say you can get your Star Trek fan card back, but you'll know it's not good enough. It's too known. It's not obscure enough.
Everybody knows about that scene.
Matt, the next time you're having a sexy time in a not very well-fitting bathing suit, I really think you should say, I'm a total T'Pol over here.
I'm just covering yourself with that gel.
Matt, you're a Southern man. We're both Southern men. Did you feel like Starbase 80 is a little Southern-coded?
Okay, does Southern coded mean stupid or outdated? Is that what that means?
It means portrayed in a way that's stereotypically similar to the U.S. South, which, yes, could include stupid, grotesque, lazy, inefficient, all these things.
It's frontier medicine. There's nothing wrong with that.
That's another really good Star Trek pull. Good job on that.
Yeah.
I salute you. That's a great. One of my favorite lines from Deep Space Nine, and I also love Kira's face when Dr. Bashir says it.
You're confusing Southern hospitality with frontier medicine, Bob.
Very different things. Very different things.
Did you catch that the station commander at Starbase 80, Cassia Knox, was actually an Elorian?
No, that totally went by me.
Yeah, so I didn't catch it either until I watched a recap show.
They actually say she was Elorian, or are you just supposed to pick that out from her wardrobe?
No, she said she was.
We're not paying enough attention.
Exactly. Bob's not paying attention either, so something's going on with this show that's not clicking with us. The whole piece of the show with Starbase 80 having its own promenade, but with a little bit more trashier than what you would see on like DS9. Did you get those same vibes? This is what other stations probably were like.
It's trashier DS9. It did make me think, I feel like Lower Decks sends the crew to a space station once a season. Once it was actually DS9, but they've also sent the crew to space stations about once a season. And it's always... Every time they go to a space station, even when it's not DS9, it sort of feels like they're going to DS9.
I'm going to call Bob on this one. I think they only went to space stations and star bases episode, seasons 3 through 5.
Oh, so only the majority of the show.
Only not, the majority, not, Bob. Just going to need to make that clear.
I'm so wrong.
The only reason I'm saying this is because we're going back to season 1 and recapping all those and reviewing those. So I'd feel awkward if we said that and then we didn't have a space station themed episode.
Are going to have a space station episode, but maybe I'm wrong and maybe I'll look like a fool when we don't.
And maybe my reading comprehension is going to look terrible because I just read a bunch of synopses and they probably left stuff out.
If only you had AI summarize those synopses for you.
Bob, what was that comment about living in the South? Southern coded? Southern coded, Bob.
That's why the AI is the most important for the South. It's a matter of regional justice, man.
We don't have AI down here, Bob.
Well, son, you're going to get it right quick.
Quick question, Bob. Where is Talyn?
That's a really good question. I'm so glad you asked it. I have no idea.
She was there the first episode of the season, and we thought she was going to be another recurring character, and no. They just trick us with this character every single season.
They do trick us, but we do have to admit she's still been in this season far, far more than we would have expected.
How many cool scenes you could have had with her on Starbase 80?
it's most illogical to not clean your promenade.
The Chad guy and his corn dog, that kind of stuff.
Which, she would hate that, given that Vulcans are vegetarians.
Do you think episodes like this belt, where they're just a little too silly, maybe that's part of it?
Maybe that's part of it. I also wonder if maybe if I watch this season again in a couple of years, I might feel more kindly to it.
Yeah, maybe it's just the amount of Trek we're getting right now in the last couple of years has been crazy.
And although it's really tapering off.
I'm hoping Star Wars does the same, because even my wife was asking me last night, she's, do you still like Star Wars? I mean, I've watched all the films, and sometimes I'll give the shows a try, but it's not my thing right now. And I don't feel like Star Trek going in that direction, too. We're getting so much Trek.
Well, and this is a time for me to compliment Matt. I wanted to cover that show, The Acolyte. He was right. That show sucked. Yeah. I'm glad we didn't cover it.
Yeah. We're getting an oversaturated market with a lot of the properties that we fell in love with as kids, bub.
Well, Matt, to combat oversaturation, who is your favorite character in this episode?
Lieutenant Matt, Bob. They named a character after me in the show. And we've met Lieutenant Matt before. It's one of the whales.
That's true. Well, I'm glad you felt seen as a beluga whaleman. Yeah. I'm going to give it to Freeman. I especially like her just having this multiversal inferiority complex. And she, you know, yelling, no giant fucking bat is keeping me on this goddamn station.
Drift. Man, I'm going to miss Carol Freeman.
Yeah, Carol Freeman's great. She's great. So, Matt, season one, episode 5, Cupid's Errant Arrow. It opens up with a climate change scenario, but here it's a moon that's unstable that needs to be blown up. But you have moon deniers, Matt. When we watched this in 2020, did this hit you so hard as an allegory about climate change?
That's really what they were going for with this. Moon deniers.
You need a moon truther is what you need, Matt. Yes. Moon truther.
What's dumb is we really have these people on Earth.
I don't think that moon's going to do nothing.
So they also think we didn't land on the moon. Did we not land on the moon, Bob? Did we land on the moon?
I wouldn't know. It is strange we never went back, but I wouldn't know.
Yeah, you think we'd be there more often. We'd build things. We like to turn everything into a weapon. It's really going to turn into a weapon yet.
Yeah. That is the thing about outer space is until and unless we start mining the asteroid belt, I don't think there's a lot of commercial potential on Mars or the moon.
Or until there's something for us to shoot at from space.
If there were moon people on the moon, you know we'd be there killing them.
If there were people trying to get to the Earth, we would be shooting at them for sure.
That's true.
From the moon. That would be our first line of defense.
Did you, like Mariner, initially believe that Boimler's girlfriend, Barbara Brinson, was not real, that she was imaginary, that he was making her up?
I did, or that something was wrong, Bob, because this is the great thing about guys going back to season one. I don't remember ever seeing this character again.
We don't need to, right? Which we'll get to at the end. It's a nice little joke.
Right. That's what I'm saying. So watching it now, I'm like, watching it back now, I'm like, oh yeah. I mean, maybe at the time I didn't think that, but now having watched 5 seasons of the show, I have no clue. I thought she was imaginary. She was a huge part of the plot that was only going to affect this episode.
It's also interesting that I totally forgot about this, but we saw Jet a couple episodes ago without his hands yelling about how Ransom is crazy. And I totally forgot that I believe we were first introduced to him here as Brinson's ex, who Boimler is jealous of. I thought that was pretty funny.
You see Jet. It's crazy that we've seen Jet in 5th season and we've seen Jet now. The character has had an actual arc throughout all the seasons. We just don't know it. We'll have to go back and watch them all.
Yeah, yeah. It's very, very funny. Very funny. So the B plot obviously is Tendi and Rutherford being excited to run around a more advanced ship. And I really did like Tendi's line that it's a starship, not heaven.
Right.
But one of the things they're most fascinated with is on the new ship, they have this new tricorder that's designed to look like a gun. And I thought the design was terrible.
It's the T-88, Bob. Come on, Mel.
It's the T-88. Did you like the T-88, Matt?
Well, that's a gun tricorder, Bob.
Matt has no opinions on the gun tricorder, it would appear.
I think it's funny, T-88, like, was that the name of the calculator we had to use in school? T-88, T-83, T-89, something like that.
I thought you were trying to make like a Terminator joke, T-9000.
When Skynet buys out Texas Instruments.
Were they T or were they T-I?
T-I, Texas Instruments.
Yeah, that's some nostalgia for a very specific block of the listener base.
Bob, actually, no, they still use that calculator in school every day.
Oh, is it not like the T-92 now?
Same calculator. They still sell them at every Target, Staples, same calculator.
Wild.
In the South. So what does that tell you? Are they using them in your schools? That's what I need to know. I need to know if they're still using those calculators or if it's just a thing in the South.
I'll try to get to a Target and let you know that.
No, Bob, you work with high school children, don't you? You tutor them. Ask one of them.
I don't tutor them about math.
Well, just, do you ever talk to them at all? Do you ever say, hey, how's it going?
Yeah, I do.
Hey, quick question, man. You use TI-88 calculators?
But they're, Matt, they're Zoomers. They don't want to socialize. They don't believe in small talk.
I mean, that's because you don't do it.
You're not talking to them. Yeah, because they wouldn't like it. It would make them uncomfortable and bored.
How would they know if they don't experience it, Bob? They need to experience you small talking with them about calculators from the 90s.
They don't care what I have to say, man.
Oh. Well, just throw it out there,
all right,
Bob.
Speaking of nostalgia, yeah. Matt, were you more surprised in this flashback that we have Mariner drinking at DS9, that we have her serving on an Olympic-class medical ship, like from All Good Things, or that she had that hair?
So, Bob, I remember when this episode dropped originally, I texted you about her being on DS9, or you texted me about it. One of us did.
Nice.
So I'm going to say that's probably the one that would most surprise me the most.
All right. That's fair. That's fair. I will say Mariner rough-shoving Jin the Andorian is interesting, given that they start dating later. Matt, you've complained to me a lot about Too Old to Die Young, but don't you agree that Naked Boimler is so much worse?
Yeah, The stuff going on here with these first couple of episodes, throughout the entire series, there's a lot of that gratuity. It's just funny, but you know, it's a cartoon. They can get away with it.
One other good line I wanted to throw out. I really loved Rutherford's line, professionals don't get pissed, which turns out to be very wrong, at least about the professional in question. But it's a good motto for professionals in general. Don't get pissed. And I did just want to say at the end, Matt, oh my God, thank you, God. Thank you, God, that it was a parasite. Thank you that Boimler can't actually attract somebody.
Well, Bob, that is my character of the episode, though. It does go to Barb Brinson, who was the one with the parasite.
Inspired by your transition there, Matt, I was going to give it to Mariner because I felt like her in the spacesuit was mocking Michael Burnham, and that made me laugh. No, it's actually the parasite. It's got to be the parasite.
Well, there you go, Bob. So, honestly, this episode, Barb Brinson and the parasite, you guys, you rocked at this.
They wind up as a couple at the end, Matt. We don't see her again. It's Barb Brinson and the parasite walk off into the horizon.
It should rather be the parasite than Boimler. What does that tell you?
Wouldn't you?
Yeah.
See.
With or without this awesome goatee he's growing though, Bob.
Okay, the goatee in season 5 is the only thing that's redeeming. That's true. Well, join us next week, listeners. We'll see how long and how thick that Boimler goatee has grown as we explore episode 6, which I think has a really generic title, so I won't bring it up. And I'll just say, have a good night. This is Bob in Cascadia. That's Matt in the Southland.
Thanks for listening.